Michael Fassbender, I said when we did our episode on him, I personally don't find him attractive. He has a shark mouth. It scares me. So I would kill Fassbender's Rochester, and I would do it in a duel, similar to how he attacks Adele's mom's lover. I'd be like, all right, I'd distribute the pistols, though, so his has no bullet in it. So we take 10 paces away, and we turn, and I shoot him because he's got no bullets, so I automatically win.
So you're doing a rigged duel to murder Michael Fassbender. See, Piper is not a man of honor, and we've talked about this.
Well, see, I don't think I could actually win if I was trying to fight him. I think he would shark bite me, and then I would bleed out in the water.
Oh, so good.
I choose the terms, and it's a rigged duel. So that's how I kill Michael Fassbender's Rochester. Lillian, hello. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing great.
Yay.
How are you?
I'm doing good. We just watched a very funny short adaptation, the shortest one yet that we've come across.
Yes, we did. We had a scheduling thing this week. I'm going to be in Boston visiting my mom for her birthday. And so we wanted to do something that we could watch quickly and then record quickly so that we didn't have to take another week off, because we love our lovely listeners and want you guys, I know you plan your weeks around how cool we are.
Yeah, obviously.
And so we want to make sure to have something for you guys. So it's going to be a little different, a little shorter in the recap. And then Piper has a little game for us at the end, which I'm pretty excited about.
Exactly. And this version, which Lillian, I will hand it to you to describe, but I want to say it's a good follow-up to our last episodes, because it seems as if it's pretty much supposed to be a direct parody of the 73 or 76, what year was it?
73.
Okay.
Yeah. And this did come out in 82. So interestingly, right before our Timmy D 83 version came out, but was very clearly the most recent, most famous version was probably the 73 at the time that this was made and recorded. And you can really see that in the costumes and the set and general vibe.
I'm sure Timmy D spent some time studying this adaptation before he took on the role of Rochester.
Yeah, he was like, I want to be Rochester. Who should I emulate? One thing that I want to start with before we go into the actual episode itself is a little context on the show that this is from. So I think we mentioned last week, but for those of you who maybe don't listen in extreme detail and memorize everything we've ever said.
How dare you?
It's fine. We'll get over it eventually. This is from Second City TV. So I have the actual dates up here. 1 second. From 1976 to 1984, Second City TV has a very similar idea. It's a sketch TV show. Very similar to Saturday Night Live. It was notably Canadian. And basically all your favorite Canadian actors from that era are in this TV show. Every single person who's in this. I was looking at the cast and I told Piper, I was like, this is a wild cast. Like, we've got a lot to talk about the cast. So I'll wait to talk about a lot of the people until we're actually talking about their roles in the show. But a couple of people who weren't in this but are, in fact, on the show are Catherine O'Hara, who I know most notably recently as being in
Schitt's Creek.
Schitt's Creek.
Your face got so scared there. My eyes got so big
as the most important show in my life just dumped right out the end. And so Catherine O'Hara was probably the most famous person who wasn't in this particular adaption, but this is also where Catherine O'Hara and Eugene Levy met. They're sort of famous for having been in things together. This was the first really big thing that they were in. I actually should say, I don't know for sure that they met on this. They could have known each other and then helped create this, but this is what they're like famous for originally being in together.
You know, it's a real shame that Catherine O'Hara wasn't in their parody version, because she would have made a fabulous Blanche. Like, just imagine
her
as Moira, but it's Blanche. David. Edward. Edward is your wife.
Edward, why are you talking to this silly little governess? Oh, so good.
That would have been nice.
Well, let's talk about, like I said, I've got a lot on the cast and I really want to talk about all those folks, but let's talk about the parody and what this did. So it's really, really short. It's like 10 minutes. It's half of one episode. And if you're listening to this going, I really want to see this parody. If you Google, they actually have a different name for it. They call it Jane Airhead, which plays into the fact that they're kind of made her stupid. It was sort of like, what if Jane Eyre was stupid? And you just Google that and it's the second half of the first YouTube video that comes up.
There you go. Because that's one thing I kind of loved when I started playing it. At first, I was like, did Lillian send me the right link? Because we open with Martin Short doing a Robin Williams impression, trying to sell orange juice. it's a great impression. He sounds just like him. But yeah, we first get a few like opening bits before we jump into the Jane Eyre thing itself. But that was kind of fun to just get the vibe of what the show was like.
Yeah. And it's definitely like, yeah, there were so many things where I was watching this and I was like, I maybe should watch like all of this show. Because I feel like there was parts of this where it was like a running bit from other parts of the show and I maybe didn't get it. But I did find, first of all, my initial thought is I thought it was funny. Yeah. I definitely probably wouldn't have enjoyed it as much if I didn't know Jane Eyre. And right. I also maybe know Jane Eyre a little too much to like other people. It was like, you're missing the point.
Oh my God, Lillian, yay. You've like completely converted to Jane Eyre fandom.
I'm now the one being like, the parody's not funny if you're just making fun of something that's like not just misunderstood.
Oh my gosh. So maybe we should start by talking about how with the title of their sketch, Jane Eyre Head, yeah, that Jane is supposed to be this kind of like stupid ditz. I thought it was a funny choice that she's brought in to be the governess, but Adele is way smarter than her. And so Adele tries to teach her. And they do this like passage of time montage where you see like a tree in the spring, like going from fall to winter. And Jane is still trying to figure out multiplication tables and can't do it.
Yeah, so she just like fully wants Adele to prove math to her. Like she keeps being like, no, because when you take this away from it, it's actually 56. So you're wrong. She goes, that's addition, not multiplication.
So that was good. That was a fun little bit.
Yeah. And they made Adele like very proper, called her a terrible teacher more than once. I think so. When Jane first shows up to the house, I also immediately, like, she opens the door in my brain went, that's John Candy. Like, that's, and that's how I was with every single person that walked on screen. Like, instead of just for a single second acknowledging any of the characters, I was like, holy crap.
Yeah. Look who that is. But before we get to John Candy's wonderful butler, although what do they call him? They said a gentleman's gentleman.
That's what Mr. Rochester becomes after the house burns down.
Right. But we can't pass over. I think one of the funniest things in this whole bit is that when Jane is walking down the road and you hear the clippity clops and I'm like, are they going to do like a Monty Python thing with coconuts? But no, it cuts to him riding a donkey. And I was like, that's so funny. And like, he like runs her over and she falls in the mud and he just keeps on going. It's like, great.
I really liked that because the donkey was great because he was very hoity-toity about the donkey.
Yes. She thinks it's a mule and he's like, wrong. It's a donkey. Learn your animals.
And then like gives her a little history lesson of the difference between a mule and a donkey, which is like deeply irrelevant. But I
Lillian,
also,
that was them
like,
tapping into him being a naturalist. See, they know the source material. He's well-read and studied of animals and all beasts.
Got it. Layers, man. I just did really like though that like that scene is absolutely how I feel about Rochester riding to her down on the horse, where it's like totally his fault.
Yes.
She's just standing on the road and it's absolutely his fault. But the difference being because it's the donkey, he just keeps going and doesn't fall off. And she's like in the mud. So she shows up with like her whole face covered in mud.
I also did like that when she comes in the door and she's trying to explain herself to John Candy. And she's like, well, you see, this asshole like knocked me down in the mud. That's why I look like this. And then Edward shows up. And when she like finds out that that guy is her master, she like grabs him by the arm and calls him Eddie. And that was
she pulls him aside and goes, listen, Eddie, I hope I wasn't out of line with that pig-headed moron remark.
No, dude, his appearance was fabulous. Just standing there dramatically in the doorway.
And then they do like a very, they're like, your room's on the second floor. Don't go to the third floor. It's totally fine. There's no reason not go, to go up there. You don't need to go up there. I just really don't want you to get murdered.
Yes.
She's like, what? And then John Candy's like, no, it's fine. Like, you just, there's no reason why Mr. Rochester's wife would murder you. I mean, he doesn't have a wife, so that's definitely not an issue.
Ignore that. Good thing you're an airhead and you won't remember this information later.
And that's like very much like how, when they're less subtle about Bertha, like that's definitely the vibe I get of like, why aren't you asking more explicit questions?
Right. No, so I thought that was tapped into pretty well. I thought the proposal scene was pretty funny, him giving her a ring. Well, first he shows up and he tells her to close her eyes. He puts a ring on her finger and then holds a magnifying glass up to it so that when she opens her eyes, it looks like a really big ring.
She's too dumb to notice because it's Jane Eyre. She's like, oh my God, it's you.
That was great. Rochester's whole thing, like, I don't know if it's like supposed to be a nod to something, but him just being like a very Southern shouty guy, like that was an interesting choice.
Just his like general, like crazy eyes. And like, I do think the whole, is Bertha crazy or did he lock his wife in the attic thing? Because to jump ahead, when they do find Bertha, Bertha's like, yeah, I mean, he locked me in the attic. So maybe you're better off without him.
I think my favorite part of this came from that scene when he's like, it's better than me sending her to an asylum. She gets 3 square meals of torch every day. It's
like, 3 square torch a day.
Yes, exactly. Like the idea that he just comes in and like has a torch near her so she can burn him down. That was good. I liked that.
I did really love the wedding. And one of the things that I wrote down is like, they have like a whole group of people at this wedding. It was like, that's way more attendees than a real Jane Eyre wedding has ever had.
Ever. I loved it. I liked how Eugene Levy was the priest. And she comes down the aisle and he looks at her and he's like, woof. You're like, literally, it's like what you always say. Like they really like, everyone's like, wow, you really want to marry that?
And she's wearing like the most insane bows and just like looks like so dumb and happy.
He's like, he had a couple of great remarks about this. He's like, if ever there was a wedding dress that should be covered by a veil, it's this one. And then when he looks to Jane, he's like, oh, you look very nice, dear. Happy Halloween. It's like, that was good.
She just goes, thank you. Oh, it's kind of like John Candy keeps calling her adult.
Yeah.
And she keeps saying, thank you.
So there were some fun little things there.
Yeah. Eugene Levy is the minister. And he does a lot of eyebrow acting in this, which is very... Like
half of his career is just his face.
Which was very, very good. And he, like you said, he like asks a few times, like, are you doing, like, do you really want to do this? Mm-hmm. Including fully pulling Rochester off to the side and being like, listen, I've been your minister and a friend for a really long time. And like, this feels like a mistake. And Jane's just sort of like there, like, do, like listening closely and all that stuff.
I think maybe Martin Short's interruption of the wedding gets probably like second best interruption scene we've seen, because you're right, the Toby Stevens one where someone rides in a horse, by far the best, but I think second best is Martin Short running in with a very like clearly glued on facial hair piece that's very dramatic and very red, and he's like, no, you can't marry her, my sister's upstairs. It was good. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. And if Martin Short had come in on a horse or the donkey that they had already proven to us that they could afford, I would have been, that would have been 10 out of 10 for me. Definitely a great Mr. Mason. And with incredibly Mr. Mason energy, no one follows him.
Yes.
He goes, my sister, his wife is locked in the attic right now. And he leaves and like comes back and goes, so we should go, because we're going to go up to the attic now.
That's where it's happening, people.
The whole giant wedding party goes up to the attic. Like all of these people who have been talking shit about Jane are now all going up to the attic.
It was good. Jane attempts to leave and then decides to go back because she remembers that she forgot her purse and her multiplication cards.
Her good purse and her multiplication flashcards.
So she has to go back because she's going to keep attempting to learn how to do math.
I'll never go back. Oh, no.
My good purse. But then I love, because they can afford a donkey, but they can't afford to make a burned looking set. So they just have John Candy standing in a field wearing like burned clothes.
With similar timing to the 57, where you're like, hold on. So she left long enough to have forgotten her stuff. And he has a burning jacket, but Mr. Rochester already has a job?
Yeah, seriously. Well, they made a kind of cute joke too, where she looks at him and she's like, oh my God, was there a fire? And he's like, no, I'm wearing a smoking jacket. And I was like, that's good wordplay. Well done, Canadians.
And then that's where Mr. Rochester turns out is now a gentleman's gentleman. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a 50s sitcom situation that happens.
I don't know what that's referencing. I feel like it must be some Canadian TV show. Cause it was like, it became black and white, and yeah, I think it was referencing a show that existed.
Yeah.
Probably my guess, if I were to like put the clues together, there must've been a butler on the show named Rochester. So I think that's maybe why they made this joke. But I could
that
be
makes
wrong.
Sense.
Canadian
that actually
listeners,
would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, Canadian listeners who have watched this and know what it's referencing, please let us know, inform yes. us, so we can be more educated in our
we're
watchings.
We're here to learn and grow, and yeah. if we can understand this weird, because the whole time this was what I was referring to when I said there was things that I felt like I missed. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of fast references to things that felt very like era specific. That maybe I'm not the most educated in early 80s culture, mm-hmm. Early 80s Canadian culture.
Yes,
and that was probably the most extreme. Where I was sitting there going, I believe you that this is funny. Mm-hmm. I do not get it.
As he was, so being the butler on whatever this TV show was, like it was clearly his job to announce when like guests would arrive, like, you know, famous celebrities. And I didn't know any of the sirs that arrived, but I did recognize the Inkblots reference. My dad has a few Inkblot albums, and they nice. Were a jazz group.
Cool.
Yeah. So I recognize that one. I'm like, ooh, I know that reference.
I also like that she helped him out as his job, and then they just didn't get married,
yep.
which feels good. That feels yeah. like the right choice. Like, she did it.
Yeah. Well done, Jane. You went back, you found a guy, but now you're just going to, I don't know, help him. You're just going to be maids together. He's a gentleman's gentleman, and you can be a maid, who knows, or still keep learning flashcards.
Yeah, or just go on to your next adventure. You seem like somebody who's really got it going on.
Sweet. So that's the entire thing.
That's the whole thing.
Yep, we just recapped the whole thing for you.
I do really want to talk about this cast though. So first of all, Jane is played by Andrea Martin, mm-hmm. who I did not recognize until I Googled her. Did you mm-hmm. happen to recognize the actress?
No, she's not familiar to me.
So she's super famous. She absolutely is familiar to you, just maybe not this era of her.
Okay.
She was in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. She okay. played the aunt who... Oh,
the one who's like, I'll make lamb. Is that her?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cute. Nice.
As a vegetarian, I'll make lamb. She was also in a ton of music. So she was a very famous Broadway musical star. So okay. she has some Tonys and stuff like that, but she's incredibly famous. This was her start. This was what she was first sort of famous for and known for. Not specifically Jane Eyre. The second
city. Amazing.
And then obviously we've talked about John Candy because we didn't bother learning his character's name, because I do think that he was meant to sort of be the equivalent of a Mrs. Fairfax. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, you got to have John Candy in there if you've got him on the cast.
Yeah, duh.
So I think the thing I recognize him the most from is I always think of Spaceballs because that was big in my house.
There you go.
And then also the one that I think of with our friendship is Blues Brothers.
Wait, John Candy in Blues Brothers? Are you certain about that? Like the first one? I've
yeah,
seen the second
it.
One 1,000 times, but the first one I haven't seen a bunch of.
John Candy is absolutely in Blues Brothers. I'm going to double check what he
okay.
plays.
Let's fact check this. Because I know in the second one, I wonder if you're thinking about the other comedian who was the other Blues Brother who died. And then in the second movie, they replaced him with the guy who is in Monsters, Inc. as Sully. We're so good with names here today.
Oh, my gosh. So he was later on SNL. So after this show, he was on SNL. And the reason that he was listed as part of Blues Brothers, because you're totally right, that's probably what I was conflating it with, but mm-hmm. he's on a list of his most famous works was being in Blues Brothers. It was originally based on an SNL skit, and he was in the original SNL skit.
There we go. Okay, cool. Sweet. Now we have come full circle. Awesome. So yes, Yay. Technically was in Blues Brothers, not the films. Yes. But this show. Awesome. When I think of John Candy, I usually think of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Mm-hmm. That is kind of a staple for my mom. She loves that movie and we always watch it around Thanksgiving. So that's usually where I think of him first.
Yeah. There's also National Lampoon's Vacation, and he was in Uncle Buck, which isn't one that I recognize, but is on this list. Mm-hmm. Cool Runnings. Basically everything from the 80s and 90s had him. The Great Outdoors. Yeah. He was in just everything for a minute there.
Mm-hmm. Good old John Candy.
Yeah. And then obviously we mentioned Eugene Levy as minister. I kept writing for all of these. I usually put like the name and then like two or three things that they're most famous for. Mm-hmm. And for these, I put minister, Eugene Levy. He's in everything.
Yeah.
Also Schitt's Creek.
Yes. When it comes to Eugene Levy and Martin Short, there's not even a point of listing it because it's just like, oh, have you ever heard of Elvis Presley? It's like, yeah, no, I know what they're from.
if you're sitting and listening to this and you're going, who is Martin Short? Do a quick Google and then we forgive you because you do know him.
You also probably his most famous role of all time in the Santa Claus 3, where he played Jack Frost and he took over the North Pole. Duh.
Yes.
Read a book, watch a movie.
That, and then he was recently in that Hulu show, Murders in the Building.
Exactly. Which I watched the first couple episodes of. I didn't keep going, but it was a cute start.
Yeah, I really liked it. I like Steve Martin and Martin Short. Like I would probably watch anything that they're in. And because, you know, they are my childhood comedians. and then Selena Gomez has such a fun dynamic with them.
Oh, hey, just random coincidence here. Last night I watched something with Steve Martin and Martin Short in it, which was The Prince of Egypt. They voiced Hotep and Hoy, the priests to Pharaoh. Yeah. So there you go. That's small world. Great. It all comes around.
So this is the one that I'm not sure about. But based off of looking at the cast and then spending a lot of time staring at a still of the actress who plays Bertha, I'm pretty sure that she's Robin Duke.
Okay.
She's again, like kind of famous, mostly as like just in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure that it's her. And she is also in Schitt's Creek. She plays the boutique owner that David works for. So
nice.
She's the one who like he works for her and then she starts a business later. This is just going to become about Schitt's Creek because Schitt's Creek is a Second City TV reunion. If you know the cast of that show, you know the cast of this show.
Well, a lot of those actors too, I don't know if their group had a name. I'm sure that it did, but they did movies together. So they did Best in Show, the dog show movie. They did A Strong Wind, or there was like something about like folk music. So they've done a lot of comedy films as like this kind of troupe. But
yeah. And and most of those, I think, so again, listeners, correct me if I'm wrong, especially if you're Canadian, I trust you more than I trust myself. But I'm 90% sure that like started from Second City TV. Like they were first famous for this. And then that became how they're in all of these things together. Cause Best in Show was 2000, which was just about 15 years after this TV show ended.
Yeah. I have no idea what that folk music movie is. I don't think it's A Strong Wind. It might be A Mighty Wind or a Something Wind. I don't know. If you know, you know. So forgive me.
Technically, we all have access to the internet, but mostly we have demonstrated that we are only willing to Google so much.
Yes.
So please help us.
We can only do so much.
We're trying so hard, you guys. There's so many adaptions of Jane Eyre to watch.
Was the actor who played Rochester known for anything that we would recognize?
Oh, yes.
Because I don't recognize that guy's face.
So the last person that we'll talk about here is, his name is Joe Faltervy.
Okay.
If you were
so confident.
I'm really confident in the pronunciation. Every time I have to read a name on this, I feel like I'm in elementary school again when they used to like be like, and now we're going to do popcorn reading. And I was like, please, can I die instead? Do you think that feels like a better option? Like just my nightmare. My palms start to sweat again.
Yes. It's like, I'm going to do this phonetically. syllable at a time. Just take it easy.
Don't worry. It's not like this is going on the internet where you're trying to get people to listen to it. It's fine. But he's been in a lot of things as well. And was in all those same kind of like that same group. He was in National Lampoon Radio Hour, he did, which was a TV show that they did before Second City TV that I think kind of spun off into that National Lampoon movie that we talk about. Mm-hmm. He was in Happy Gilmore. He was
He's the Jackass guy. He's the guy who says Jackass about everything. Okay, cool. I thought he looked kind of familiar. So that's it.
I have his Wikipedia page up. And when you said that, I saw like the word Jackass is on the page. And apparently he's like famous for having people yell Jackass at him on the street now.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, no, that's such a tough part. He was also in Back to the Future 2 and he was in Big Bang Theory for being Back to the Future 2.
Huh. I can't think of who he was in Back to the Future 2, but that's the one I watch the least often when I watch Back to the Future. We usually watch the first one and the third one, because I think the third one's personally my favorite, but I love the West, so.
He delivers Doc's letter to Marty McFly in Back to the Future 2.
Oh, dude, and that's like the best scene in the whole movie. You've seen those movies, right, Lillian?
I have, but it's been a really long time.
Okay, that scene is an incredible scene because that's where, like, right after Doc takes off in the DeLorean and he gets struck by lightning, and we, the audience, think he's just been killed, like in a fiery explosion. But then this car pulls up and this mysterious man gets out, and it's our Mr. Rochester here, and he delivers the letter to Marty, and it's like, we've had this in the post office for 200 years. It's not that long, but you know, and yeah. It's a great moment.
Oh, that's very good. That's the cast. Again, Second City TV, I had a lot of fun poking around on the internet learning about this. I actually sent Piper a note while I was watching it. And I was like, I'm spending a lot of time on IMDb for this one. I'm pretty sure I spent more time on IMDb digging around about this cast, 90% of which was totally uninteresting to our audience, but very interesting to me. I spent more time doing that than I did watching this 10-minute, very fun little clip about it, but mostly I'm a new fan of Second City TV.
Nice.
I'm going to bring it back. Nobody wants it but me, but we have a lot of control now.
Lillian is going to reach out to all the original cast members who are still living and organize a fan convention. And it's just going to be her and them in a conference room. And me, I'll be there for emotional support. I won't leave you hanging.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think still living is a rough one, but also accurate one, especially some of the older cast members.
Oh yeah, no, I know. So since we've covered this already, oh wait, we got to do a rating and then let's play this little game that I've put together for us. I think we need to adjust this as a scale as well, because obviously it's like, we can't be like, well, I would clearly choose this person over Michael Fassbender. So let's
I think she did a better job of playing Jane than Ruth Wilson.
Yeah, seriously. I'll go first. I, on a comedy scale, I'm going to give this a 7.5 out of 10 for comedy interpretations. And I'm going to give it 7.5 donkeys.
I'm going to give it 5.5 mules.
Nice.
Which is totally different as we've established.
Yes, it's very true.
I thought it was fun. I did feel like maybe if somebody can give me all the references, that rating would go up. It felt like they found it a lot funnier than I found it, which is fine.
Yeah.
And I was mostly there for like the, oh my God, that's Martin Short moments.
Well, big part of my rating, I think maybe just comes from that Martin Short, Robin Williams juice ad. Cause that was good. That was fun to see. Just going off like a crazy person.
That gives it another 1.5 because I haven't seen the juice commercial, so I wouldn't know.
You skipped over that part?
Yeah, I skipped right to the part with Jane Airhead. That's what I'm here for.
You need to go back and watch the juice commercial that they make. It's funny.
Okay, I will do that as soon as we're done with our super cool game that you have.
Awesome. Okay. What is your rating though? Oh, yes.
Wait, 5.5 mules.
Mules. Okay, cool. Awesome. Just wanted to make sure we had the scoring. That's very important. The whole point of the podcast.
Yeah. Everybody's just here for our scores, which are super consistent and not at all based on whims.
No, of course not. Don't be crazy. So Lillian, I was brainstorming because we were talking about how we needed to fill the air. And I thought, you know what, why not go to one of our staples for a source of fun and entertainment when we're hanging out, us girls. Typically, this is something we would do at sleepovers. But a favorite game of ours is Marry, Bang, or Kill. And if you are unfamiliar with this, it has other names, but we're trying to use more the PG name for this podcast, even though we do curse. But the rules of the game are you propose three people, and they can be real life people or fictional people, but you put those names out there, and then everyone playing has to say of those three, you need to choose one to marry, one to have sex with, and one that you're going to murder. I like to explain my reasons because I think that makes it more fun and be very like complicated on my whys. So Lillian, I'm going to give you the first prompt here. Our first three options for Marry, Bang, or Kill, Jane Eyre edition, are three different Rochesters. First, Toby Stevens. Second, Timothy Dalton. And third, Michael Fassbender. Marry, bang, or kill.
That's so mean. I will say to our listeners, we're going to make this a game that you can play on our social media too, because this is fun. Already I'm stoked. Oh gosh. So Toby Stevens, Timothy Dalton, Michael Fassbender. I can guess what you would say.
Well,
and am I going with them as Rochester or as the actors?
You're going with them as Rochester.
Okay.
Yeah.
Toby Stevens, I'm marrying.
Awesome.
Love him forever. Mm-hmm. Oh God, though. Because here's the thing, and yes, this is again maybe the most important question I've ever answered. I don't like personality wise. Mm-hmm. I didn't like Timothy's Rochester. Mm-hmm. We know this. We've talked about this.
Yes,
but he's hot though.
He's so hot. He's so hot.
That's like peak Timothy. Right? Timothy, are you kidding me?
My Ooh. God, the height, the jaw, the dimples, the hair.
Oof. Well, and the strength, because I was, long story short, but I was looking for some screenshots to put up on our Instagram recently. So I was rewatching, and there's so many scenes where he catches Jane.
I know. And he carries her.
Just feel like, I feel like I don't want to go into too much graphic detail, but it would be an important part of the why I'm banging Timothy. And I like Michael Fassbender, but I'm so sorry, dude. I'm going to have to kill you. It's my only choice.
Yeah. Okay. Lillian, my answer is the same.
Really?
Yes. I don't like Michael Fassbender. I said when we did our episode on him, I personally don't find him attractive. He has a shark mouth. It scares me. So I would kill Fassbender's Rochester. And I would do it in a duel, similar to how he attacks Adele's mom's lover. I'd be like, all right, I'd distribute the pistols though. So his has no bullet in it. So we take 10 paces away and we turn and I shoot him because he's got no bullet. So I automatically win.
So you're doing a rigged duel to murder Michael Fassbender. See, Piper is not a man of honor. And we've talked about this.
Well, see, I don't think I could actually win if I was trying to fight him. I think he would shark bite me and then I would bleed out in the water.
So good.
I choose the terms and it's a rigged duel. So that's how I kill Michael Fassbender's Rochester. I would also marry Toby Stevens because he's the sweetest version. He seems like he would really, it'd be nice to spend a lifetime with him doing nature walks with Adele down by the river and all that nice stuff. And I would have my my honeymoon with Timmy D though. Timothy Dalton and I would our bang would
you're
last.
So, you're gonna marry Toby Stevens, but you're taking Timothy on your honeymoon.
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's my rules. I get to do what I want.
Oh my God.
Alrighty, are you ready for the next one?
I'm so ready.
Okay, so our next one is another batch of Rochesters. This time, you must choose who to marry, bang, or kill between Sirian Hines, Patrick McNee, which is the one from the 57 version with the big eyebrows, and Michael Jaston, which is the one we just reviewed from 73. Want me to go first on this one?
No, because I'm sure you know, because you came up the list. Do you know?
No, I haven't really thought about this batch particularly. Okay. So
you,
I can...
You go. I'm going to think.
Okay, so of these... Okay, I'm going to kill Michael Jaston. I don't like, we've established that we don't like his cruelty to his actual wife. And he's just not attractive to me. So I'm going to kill him. And that one, I think I'm just going to burn him in his bedroom, but I'm going to lock the door so Jane can't save him this time. So I'll set his bed on fire. But unlike Bertha, I'm going to lock the door so he can't get out or be saved.
I like that you're locking him in, because yeah. I'm like, you can get everybody else out. You're not murdering the whole house. You're not Bertha. You're not jumping off the roof.
Exactly.
But he is going
to
die.
Yeah. I'm going to rescue Bertha. I'm going to get Adele to a nice family who can take care of her. I'm going to save everyone. I'm just going to burn Rochester in his bed successfully.
This is so brutal.
I think I'm going to bang Patrick McNee because I don't want to spend a lifetime with him. That's always the way I judge this. And like, he's pretty awful, but I don't know. He's got like that tight fitting clothes and those big sleeves. So I'll be like, keep the clothes on. We're going to make this fast. And then I'm going to marry Sirian Hines, because even though he's very screamy, he's nice to his ward, and he takes walks in nature, which is fun. So we can be like an old couple that like walks in the woods together. And I do like his hair. His face is like whatever, but yeah, I don't know. He's the most tolerable of the three for me. So I'd marry that guy.
Oh my God. This one's going to be really different.
Okay, tell me.
So first I'm going to go with who I'm going to kill. Mm-hmm. Patrick McPhee, what is it?
McNee.
Yep. McNee. Patrick McNee is gonna die.
Good. The guy with the drunk with the scary
eyes.
And I
want to be super clear. It's the drunk with the scary eyes of it all.
Yes.
Because I've seen pictures of him in other things. Like I said, I spent a lot of time on IMDb for these. He's in other things. He's a fairly attractive man. They did a good job of making him an unattractive Rochester.
Yeah.
Also, personality wise, I hate him, and he's got a real rapey vibe. So I think that dude's got to go. then Michael, I think I'm gonna marry.
Okay.
Because even though there were parts of what he did that I wasn't a huge fan of, I feel like he was a lot more like somebody you could talk to, somebody who would listen to you. So, our conversation, he could learn and grow, which I think in general, really healthy hot take. I'm going to fix him and it'll be fine.
So Lillian, wait, big question about that answer though. So when you're marrying that Rochester, and you can ask obviously the same for me, are you in this scenario, are you marrying him after the events, so therefore Bertha has died, or are you marrying him with bigamy and you're off in that house in France?
I think I'm going to go with Bertha's dead.
Okay.
Because otherwise then I would, but I don't think I would mind the house in France.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no reason why you can't go to the house in France after the wife is dead.
Plus, I've been busy having very angry bangs with Sirian Hines, because I feel like that's the vibe he and I would have, is like real, like lots of yelling, but passion, you know, because he talks about that passion, and it made me pretty angry, but you know.
Yeah, it's that hate sucks.
We can put it to use.
Amazing. I love it. I love it. Okay. I've got one more batch. Are you ready, Lillian?
I'm so worried about this.
Okay. Our final batch for this round of Mary Banger Kill Jane Eyre edition is St. John, and you can pick any St. John you like. Brocklehurst, again, you could pick any Brocklehurst you like. And then finally, Aunt Reed. Lady's choice again. With all three of these, you can choose any rendition, but it has to be one form of those characters: St. John, Brocklehurst, and Aunt Reed.
I'm killing every version of Mr. Broccoli. He's got to go.
Oh, good, good, good.
I just like can't even for a single second think about any other option for him. He is dead.
Lillian, how would you kill him? What is the best way for that man to die?
I would
probably beaten to death by women.
I know. I was going to say, I was like stoned to death by the little girls, probably, right?
Yeah, seriously. Take that, you crotchety old man.
Or just given the exact same care that he gives these orphan girls, and he'll die because he's a unstable old man.
Yeah.
Wow, our murders are brutal. I'm so sorry to our sensitive listeners. I really hope you bailed early in this game.
Dude, no, this is the fun of the game. That's how you like get all your weirdness out.
And then I think I would bang the 73 Mrs. Reed.
Okay.
Because the other ones are like mean and not beautiful, where she's really pretty and mean. not going to marry her though. And then I'm going to marry St. John, but I'm not going with him to India.
You'll just be technically married, but you never see each other.
Yeah. I'll just be hanging out, like keeping the house safe and stuff. I am not meant for labor. I'm so sorry.
And Lillian, just like Jane, you would die after 3 months in India.
Because the main reason that they've given why Jane would die in India is just she's so white.
She's too pale. She'll burn to a crisp.
Burn to a crisp. They did not have enough sunscreen for me.
That's amazing.
Oh, I've got to know yours.
Okay, so I would also kill Brocklehurst, obviously. I think maybe I would ship him off to India. I think that's how I would kill him. Like have him just like die a horrible death out there by getting like mauled by a tiger. That's it. I send him to India. As soon as he steps off the boat, a tiger kills him. That's how I kill Brocklehurst. Take that, you evil man. I think I would probably bang Vampire St. John.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because he's got a good nose. He's tall. Like, that'd be interesting. That's the main point of it. I feel like this is going to be weird.
Let's Vampire St. John being the 73.
Yes. Even though that would be, I think, definitely a bad time. I think that's the kind of thing. Because St. John's character, he's such a wet blanket. He's definitely the person who would like not have fun with sex. So I think you tie him up and you have your way with him and then you leave. And he's a vampire, so he's fine. He'll survive. He'll recover in 100 years. And then I'm going to marry Aunt Reed, but I'm going to marry the Aunt Reed who's played by the lady from Paddington Bear and Shape of Water. Is that the 2011 one? That's 2011.
2011 or 2006. I'm going to check.
Yeah, I think it's the 2011 one. So I'm going to marry that Aunt Reed because she is, I mean, she's gorgeous. I think she's the most beautiful Aunt Reed so far. And yeah, I'd have to hang out with her annoying kids and stuff. But, you know, maybe I can better manage our money so that way John Reed doesn't waste it all and kill himself. And I'll be like, you know what? I'm going to take care of this fortune and this house. I'm also going to honor our promise and be nice to little Jane. And then she doesn't have to deal with the whole issue of her life. And it's just going to be a good one instead. So yeah, I'm going to marry Aunt Reed and I'm going to fix that family. That's my job.
That's fantastic. You were right. It was 2011 and her name is Sally Hawkins.
Sally Hawkins. Love you, Sally. Hope you're listening.
Obviously you're listening to this because you're a big fan.
Yeah. Our number two biggest fan, Sally Hawkins.
That's amazing. I'm now officially obsessed with this game and we'll have to use it in any other, because we've got a lot of weird short adaptions that we need to get through.
Yes.
So anytime we have a weird short adaption, get ready for this game and do check out at least our Instagram. I know how I can make this happen on our Instagram.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
Everybody get ready for this. It's going to be great.
Oh boy. Okay. Thank you for playing, Lillian. And for suggesting this fun short adaptation. I'm glad that we can throw in some goofy things and have a good laugh. It's also just fun to see how people can take this story and what they could do with it. So
yeah, I will say, I think we could do a better spoof version of Jane Eyre. I think we know this. I think that's part of the reason, I gave it that lower score is the whole time I was like, there's just so much material with Jane Eyre. You could have done so many funny things.
And maybe someday we will. Who knows?
Yeah. When we get our big budget for all this good stuff.
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody about what we're watching next week.
Please do.
Because I'm pretty excited about this. This is one that I've seen a lot of different places. And a couple of different people have referenced it, but the person who specifically asked us to watch this and actually asked us to let her know when we watch this is Katie from the Classic Literature Book Club on Facebook. In that Facebook group, she mentioned that it's her favorite version. She wants to know what we think. It's with Joanna Fortune and Orson Welles. It is a very popular adaption of it. It is our oldest adaption by a good distance. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty excited to see this version and talk to you about it next week.
Me too. So that's in the 40s. What exact year do you have that in front of you?
1943.
They're always threes. See, that's what like throws me off. I'm like, I want to say, because I know the 83 version. And so when I say 73, I'm like, no, I must be thinking of the 83, but it's 43, 73. Every 10 years, the cycle must continue. It's part of the Jane Eyre curse.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of like just the frequency of Jane Eyre's. Like we can't even say 40 because there's other versions in the 40s.
Right.
I was talking about, I Googled the 70s version, and there is actually a 1970 version of Jane Eyre. And I almost like found the wrong one when I was trying to find that originally. So absolutely what is it called? Plurific? Plurific's the wrong word.
Prolific.
Sam, nice try. We got it before you had to come in and interrupt us.
Stay back, you. I've locked the door. But yeah, no, that's going to be really fun. I think the thing that makes me most excited, apart from I'm really, really curious to see how Orson Welles does Mr. Rochester, but also the thumbnail of the video on YouTube has a smiley little girl. And I'm like, if that's Jane, I'm already glad to see that she looks happy. So
there's a little girl, Jane, who actually, well, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more, but she became a very famous child actor. And this was her first movie that she was in, which was referenced when our listener recommended that we watch this version. So oh, cool. Thank you, Katie, for yeah, that thanks, context. Katie. I can't wait to talk about this. I also think I'm particularly excited to watch this much older version because it'll be interesting to see how they interpret lots of things that we think about as feminist issues within the movie yeah. at a time when they had a really different view on that. So I'm yeah. really excited.
Me too. So please tune in next week for that awesome experience. But for now, happy Jane Eyre reading and watching, and make sure to play Mary Bang or Kill with us on Instagram because we really yes. need to know your answers.
You can find us. I'll figure out how to get it on other places too, but you can find us on all social media at Jane Eyre, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram specifically. And then mm-hmm. you can email us Jane Eyre. Or not Jane Eyre.
Yeah, I'm like,
oh my God, Air Buds.
You're trying to take credit. She's like, step aside, Emily Bronte. This is our product now.
Emily Bronte, Wuthering Heights. Nice try. It's Charlotte.
Clearly we're big fans.
Whatever. We do. This is why we need Sam in the corner. This is why we need that Kickstarter. And also, to be fair to us, we're recording this really early. So this is the first day of daylight savings time. So we're both a little wonky today. And I'm sorry and thank you for bothering with us.
Oh, thank you.
At Earbuds on all the social and airbuds@gmail.com. Now we're going to go take a nap for a week.
Yes. See you later, guys. Bye.